Balls, a supernatural podcast with Lizzie and Missy.
Oh, man. I'm already ready for October to be over.
Oh, no, it's the best month.
I know.
I was going to say happy October, and then you throw that on me.
I'm sorry. It's going to be a rough October.
Yeah.
Throwing that out there to the fans. I'm happy we decided to postpone some recording because once the haunt season starts, my voice is going to be shitty.
Yeah, maybe we should explain that to them.
Yes. Now. I think that's a really, really good call. Obviously, this episode, welcome. You're listening to us. So
hello.
Thank you. This episode is not only a twofer, but it is the end of the second season.
It is the season finale supersode.
It is. So we'll be covering parts one and two of All Hell Breaks Loose. And because it's the end of season two, and I'm heading into insanity, we've gotten a couple things under our belts that we'll be releasing, so you guys will still hear from us, but we're going to take a bit of a month or a couple weeks off.
Yeah, I think it'll only end up being a couple weeks. Maybe 2 weeks.
Nothing too crazy. We'll still be on like Instagram and Twitter interacting and stuff, but we won't be having an episode available.
Yes.
I'm just getting into the haunt season. I work for a haunted house, and we just opened last weekend, and it means I'm there Friday, Saturday, Sunday for at least 6 hours.
Yeah, so it takes up a lot of time, and I didn't want her to have to worry about this while she was also doing that, so we decided to take a couple weeks off. We're going to be back in the beginning of November, but I just didn't want her to go, you know, crazy with all of that and with this and with other work and...
Because she loves me, and yeah. Unlike the supernatural world where you can just bring people back 8 times,
yeah,
I'm pretty sure that doesn't roll here.
No. I wanted you to survive October, so.
Thank you. I do have to say, though, if I get called in on Halloween, I'm going to be real mad.
Oh, no.
Real mad. All right, so is there any other housekeeping we need before we go into this?
I don't think so. I think that was all... That was the big thing. I think we can jump into it.
All right. Just one more housekeeping thing on my end, just in case we didn't mention it before.
I just said we were done, Liz.
Well, you said you were done.
Oh, no. Good point.
I never said I was done. We've done a couple twofers. We wanted to keep this one a twofer just because it's part one and part two. And if you watch both episodes, they kind of feel like one big, as you said, supersode.
Oh, yeah. They flow. They flow pretty good.
In the future, we're going to try and stay away from twofers.
Yeah.
Because obviously we like to talk.
Sometimes too much from what I've been seeing.
And we don't want to be like dragging on with you guys because obviously we want to get to the nitty gritty of this, talk about the episode, talk about the things you want to learn about, and obviously our reactions because that's really what you're here for, let's be honest. So we're going to stay away unless obviously there's an episode where nothing is really happening.
Yeah, that sometimes happens. In these first couple seasons, let's say. I can see you're back there.
Anyone listening, maybe I'll post a picture of it sometime so that people can see. I got Tallahassee, a new toy. I thoroughly despise clowns and therefore despise Pennywise. So I got her a Pennywise squeaky toy. Which was a blessing and a curse, because I probably, in theory, should never have done it, because it's terrifying, and the head squeaks. But also, I was hoping it would be cathartic when she starts ripping his limbs off.
Then you're like, yes!
Because we all know I hate clowns, and fuck those clowns.
I believe there was an episode called that.
Yeah, and I feel like there's another episode with a clown later on.
Is that the stripper Actually, glitter one?
That one, and then they bring the John Wayne Gacy.
Oh, yeah, one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have those to look forward to. Can't wait. That being said, let's jump on into our two-part supersode.
Yay!
Yay!
Supersode.
Aw, yeah. So, this episode, we're talking about the episode All Hell Breaks Loose, Part 1 and 2, which aired May 10th, 2007, and takes place in Cold Oak, South Dakota, and Wyoming, or to be specific, Southern Wyoming.
Not Northern Wyoming. That
Southern
didn't happen.
Southern Wyoming.
Southern Wyoming.
I like that when they got in the episode, they were like, I think it was Dean who asked, Wyoming? Like, why would anything happen in Wyoming? And then there's that moment where he's just like, oh, no.
Oh, snap. That's where you least expect it to be.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of nowhere.
Literally. Surrounded by five Western churches.
Why not? So for our ranking this time, Decider.com, she ranked this 23 and 24, respectively.
Okay.
I'm not sure which one she put first, but that's how she did it. Just as season two starts remarkably, it ends with a bang. It ends with bang after bang.
All the bangs.
Bang after bang.
Bang, bang.
She said, I can't separate these two episodes because they have so many iconic moments and shocks across the board. We learn who the special children are, and then Sam dies? I know. There's four question marks after that. Though it's old hat now, because, I mean, they die all the time.
Yeah, at this point, they're dying.
Spoiler, like, they die.
They, like, rotate who's going to go this season.
Yeah. This is the first time a Winchester brother really bit the big one. And it's still painful to watch because of Dean's reaction and Jensen's incredible acting. Then there's the whole thing where Dean sells his soul, which pretty much sets up the mythology for the next several years. Even so, the guys end on a rare win as they take down Azazel at last. These two episodes were peak Winchester goodness.
I feel like I agree, but I also feel like she needs to give Bobby his due.
Yeah, why is
because
there...
Bobby really did step up in these as, like, daddy yeah. Singer.
Aw, daddy singer. No mention of his awesome deer shirt either. Which is what I wrote down. Okay, so then Thrillist.com. Uncle Joey ranked both of these as number four. He just smushed them together at number four.
Okay.
He said, in this fantastic two-part season finale, Sam finds himself abducted by yellow eyes and in a game of survival of the fittest against all the demons' other talented children in a ghost town. At the end of part one, Sam is murdered by another demon's spawn, and the first of what will be many deaths for the Winchester boys. Samuel Colt, the man who designed a gun who can kill any demon, also created a giant devil's trap containing a locked devil's gate, for which the gun is the literal key. Jake, the demon spawn, opens the gate, and hundreds of demons escape. Only hundreds? It looked like a lot.
They did say an army.
Is it a legion?
Oh, it might have been a legion.
Yellow Eyes is about to kill Sam, but the spirit of John Winchester escapes from hell, wrestling Yellow Eyes to the ground and giving Dean just enough time to shoot with the Colt. Then John Winchester disappears. The first truly grand-scale episode of many to follow. I have a problem with the demons escaping and John going to heaven. Or wherever. I did not appreciate the CGI.
Yeah, I didn't either. And I mean, I tried to watch this from a perspective of somebody who hasn't seen it three times.
And someone who was watching it in 2007.
Yeah. So obviously, to fast forward through the episodes... I had a feeling John, because they're opening the gates to hell, we obviously know John was sent to hell after making the deal with Yellow Eyes. Obviously, John was going to come out.
Yeah.
That part didn't surprise me as much as I think the episode was hoping it would.
Yeah, I wasn't really shocked when he came out.
I feel like that was now looking at it from an objective perspective, kind of obvious.
Yeah. Where you're like, oh, yeah, he's going to pop out.
I'm also curious, do you think Yellow Eyes was sitting in the diner waiting for Sam to go get Dean his meal and pie?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because I feel like Dean would have realized a demon showing up because they were the only ones there when they pulled up.
Yeah.
Everyone else was already inside the diner.
Yeah, he must have been in there, like, in that one corner where there wasn't a window. Mm-hmm. Which, that was, like, the smallest diner ever.
Oh my god, it was super tiny. Like, I don't even think, there was no kitchen. This diner had no kitchen.
No, well, like, the kitchen was, like, part of the there's no back kitchen.
Yeah.
Let's say that. It was literally like a shoebox for a diner.
Pretty much, yeah. And this is actually the episode where my ringtone came from. When Dean goes, see if they got any pie. Don't forget the pie. Love
Don't
me
forget
some
the pie. Don't forget the pie.
That was my one text tone for the longest time. And I made one note that when they're having the diner conversation of extra onions, and Sam goes, dude, no extra onions. I'm the one who has to bunk with you. My very first thought in this entire situation was like, yeah, those are siblings. My brother and I have had many a conversation like that. Like, don't eat onions. I have to share a home with you. Like, no.
Yeah. I don't want to be smelling that. Jesus.
And I will.
It will be there.
I just laughed because I was like, that is the most realistic sibling moment that they've ever had.
Do we want to get into the plot?
I think we should.
Sam is abducted by Azazel and taken to an abandoned town. Also placed there are Azazel's other psychic children, Andy Gallagher. I like Andy.
I do like Andy.
And Ava, I lost my car, Wilson, as well.
Ava, I still love my dead fiance.
Oh, she doesn't know he's dead yet. As well as newcomers Lily, who apparently doesn't get a last name, and Jake Talley. As Dean and Bobby head to the roadhouse for help and find it burned to the ground with, the body of Ash in the wreckage.
I was really hoping it wasn't real, like, that Ash put it on, like, on somebody else.
Yeah. That was so sad. Okay. Andy uses his mind control abilities to send Dean his location telepathically. That night, Sam is visited in a dream by Azazel, who explains that he has brought them together so they can fight to the death, and the sole survivor becoming the leader of his army of demons. Doesn't that just sound like a good time?
Sounds like a party.
He reveals why he killed Sam's girlfriend, Jessica. She was in the way, and shows Sam the source of the psychic children's abilities, his own demon blood.
Bum, bum, bum. Dude, Sam was super pissed about that.
You know, when he shows Sam the vision of the night of his mother's death, who Azazel explains he killed as she got in the way, Sam discovers to his shock, that Mary recognized Azazel. Meanwhile, Ava uses a new demon-controlling ability and forces an Ashari demon to kill Lily and Andy. She then reveals to Sam that she has been in town since she went missing, killing off the other psychic children that Azazel has sent there. She sets the Ashari demon on him, but Jake sneaks up behind her and uses his superhuman strength to break her neck, which I forgot about. And when it happened again, I was like, oh my god, what happened? Causing the demon to flee. Jake attacks Sam as Azazel told him only one of them is getting out alive, but Sam gains the upper hand and apparently knocks him unconscious. However, as Sam is distracted by the arriving Dean and Bobby, Jake regains consciousness and fatally stabs him. Sam dies in Dean's arms.
That was painful.
Still painful. Dean, devastated by Sam's death, sells his soul to a crossroads demon in exchange for Sam's resurrection and is given only 1 year before collection is due. Ellen later arrives at Bobby's home and gives him a map of Wyoming that Ash had left in the roadhouse's safe. Research reveals that Samuel Colt, the creator of the Colt gun, created a giant devil's trap using railway lines, which is pretty genius.
Also, how long did that take?
I have no idea. Probably a very long time.
It had to have, because it's not like they had the technology we do now. But yeah, like, looking at that gate, that lock on the gate.
Yeah.
Like, that is some technology.
Oof. Yeah. And it's not like you could send your drone up to make sure your lines were correct on your railway. At the trap center is an old cowboy cemetery, which Azazel forces Jake to go to. The hunters are there to meet him, but Jake subdues them long enough to use the Colt as a key to open the mausoleum. Sam then shoots Jake in the back and finishes him off with multiple shots as he begs for mercy. As the mausoleum doors begin to open, they realize that it is the Devil's Gate, a doorway to hell. A rush of demons escapes and breaks the iron railway lines of the Devil's Trap, allowing Azazel to enter. As Ellen and Bobby try to close the gateway, Sam and Dean take the Colt and confront Azazel. Unfortunately, the demon catches them by surprise and takes the gun. He taunts Dean's demonic pact and questions if what came back was 100% pure Sam. Azazel prepares to kill them, but the escaped spirit of John Winchester grabs him. The distraction allows Dean to take back the Colt and shoot the demon in the heart, finally killing him. As Bobby and Ellen manage to close the gates, which, by the way, just Bobby and Ellen are pushing back the gates of hell with all the demons coming out.
I was like, can we talk about how Sam just left Ellen?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, you got this. I'm going to go home over here.
You're fine. You can do it.
I definitely am not helping at all with my height or my muscle.
No. You do it.
You got this, Ellen.
As Bobby and Ellen manage to close the gates, John's spirit moves on. However, while Azazel is now dead, hundreds of other demons escaped, an army is worth, and their work is not done yet. Sam also promises to find a way to save Dean after he admits to him about his deal. So where to start with all that?
Oh, my gosh. Let's start with the fact that Azazel decided to, like, have his own, essentially, like, Legends of the Hidden Temple, Global Guts, in a set in a Western town throwdown.
Oh, Legends of the Hidden Temple.
He's like, hey, guys, you're my demon army, but I can only use one. So what I need you to do is enter this town, find this ghost demon child thing.
I need the blue iguanas to go up against the purple monkeys.
Also, what I want to know is, okay, so obviously as this episode goes on, we find out that Ava's been there the longest.
Mm-hmm.
And that Ava, surprisingly, knows what the fuck is going on and has killed pretty much every single person that's come into that town over the last 5 months.
Yeah. She's gone crazy.
Absolutely crazy. And on top of it, when they find her, she's locked in a shed. So did she lock herself in that shed knowing more people were coming? Or?
Oh, yeah. I think she locked herself in the shed. Because she was the only one that was in some place that they couldn't get out of.
That's true. So you think she, because this is what I think, if that's the case, she saw them come in, because obviously, and then ran to the shed and locked herself in.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
And then was like, ah, somebody help.
I need out.
Oh man, I felt so bad for her up until this episode, and then I hated her so much, and I felt so bad for Andy.
Oh, and not Andy.
I'm so happy though in this that Dean literally, or that Sam kind of calls her bluff and was like, Ava, what happened up here? Where were you?
Yeah.
Why is there a line there? Andy did that. Andy would never do that. Boom. I know him better than you do, bitch.
Andy and I go way back.
Andy and I are kind of biffles. Okay.
She turned, like, so bitchy so quick, though. She, like, had her, like, you felt bad for her. You know, like, they found out her boyfriend died and everything. And she's like, had that act going. And then all of a sudden, she just like changes like that. And you're like, oh.
Turned it right off.
You.
She's like, you got me.
Ugh, creepy.
I felt so bad for poor Lily. She got essentially the rogue X-Men kind of power.
I felt so bad for her. She's like, when I touch people, they die. And then she's like, I touched my girlfriend. And I was like, oh, no.
And then she was the first to die in this grouping too.
Yeah.
She tried to escape after they found out that this isn't just a normal town. No, it's the most haunted town, which is why they were brought there. Which, go Sam for recognizing that off of a bell with a tree.
Yeah, really? Who knows that?
Also, oh,
Sam knows that.
Bobby?
Well, yeah, I expect
when
Bobby to
Dean
know.
Dean got his vision. Bobby's like, wait, there was a bell? What kind of bell? Okay, was there anything on the bell? A tree? I know exactly where we're going. Let's go. White Oak, South Dakota. We're doing this.
When Dean got his
Cold
vision.
Cold Oak, sorry. Cold Oak.
He's South like, Dakota. It's about as fun as getting kicked in the jewels.
I know.
We got his headache.
He's like, do you get headaches like that often?
No. Not like Sam.
I enjoyed we got to see this straight up dynamic between Bobby and Dean, essentially, in this entire, like, twofer.
Yeah. Super sewed.
Yeah. I like that we got to see that. And, obviously, we got more emotion out of Dean.
Oh, my God.
Which, like, bro, you can't bury your brother, but, like, you had no problems lighting your dad on fire right after?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Where were they?
I thought about that, too.
I thought they were when they took Sam and he goes, you're going to have to bury him soon. I thought they were at Bobby's.
No, I thought they were still at the ghost town.
Oh, maybe they were at the ghost town. Because then obviously when Sam comes back after Dean made a deal with the devil, well, sold his soul to a demon. Which, I liked that demon.
Yeah.
I thought she was good. I mean, she obviously knew what she was going for. She knew how desperate Dean was.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked the fact that he was, like, going down. She's like, you can keep going all day, and I'm going to keep saying no.
Yeah. Only 1 year, though.
It's just enough.
Yeah.
But not enough. Because that's exactly what it is.
Enough.
Like, they just opened a gate to hell.
Yeah.
Released a fuck ton of demons.
You got a busy year ahead of you.
Yeah. And these people are just going to be possessing people right and left. And man, I don't know about you, but I kept going back and forth with Azazel. I hated him. I hated him. I thought he was kind of funny. I hated him.
I mean, I don't like him, but I do laugh at his jokes.
He was very funny.
He's pretty witty.
In like the dry humor fucked up way.
Yeah. Wasn't that actor the dad in The Greatest Showman?
I think so, yeah.
Wasn't that what's her name's dad?
Mm-hmm. It is.
It's weird to see him. I mean, he was still like a dick in that movie, but like it's weird to see him not as a demon.
The weirdest one for me is I just watched we just got into the second season of The Boys. And we just got to Robert Singer. And I'm just like waiting for him to jump in a car and call up Dean and be like, okay, here's what we got on superheroes. But that's not at all. He's just an actual agent.
He's not a hunter. He's just a regular police person.
I also am curious why the cowboy cemetery. Like, I want to know in the culmination of designing this that Colt did, where he did the railroad tracks for the Devil's Trap into like where he put the Devil's Gate. So you think like the Devil's Gate was there first, and then he's like, oh shit, we can't let this happen, so he locked it up.
That's what I was just thinking, because
and then built the Devil's Trap around it.
Yeah, what if there was only like a hole and then they built the mausoleum on top of it?
Not to kind of keep it not to be confused with the Hellmouth.
Totally different.
Very different things. Two very different things. That would be a hell of a crossover. Buffy the Vampire Slayer meets Supernatural.
Could it still happen?
Oh, man.
There's time.
I hope so. Oh, that would be great.
We're 1 week away from new episodes when we're recording this.
I know.
Oh. I saw a commercial today, and I was like, oh, my God, it's so exciting.
But did we ever get an answer in this episode, by the way? Because obviously when they got to the roadhouse, they found it burned down after Ash was, like, losing his mind about, like, how he couldn't talk about anything. And he had something extremely important to tell everyone.
Ash's ashes. That makes me sad.
Can we have, like, a moment of silence for Ash?
Let's do.
Okay. R.I.P. Ash. I feel like we needed that moment. Just like, in the arms of the angel.
At Amazing Grayson.
Yes. But like the rock version.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Sung by Joe Exotic. But obviously we were looking for Ash. We were looking for Ellen. And they even mentioned Joe. Do we even know where Joe is right now? Or is Joe just still chilling in like Denver?
Yeah, I have no idea where she is.
Because I don't even think Ellen said where she was. She was just like, I went out because we ran out of crackers.
Yeah. Like, what was it? Like, yeah, like pretzels or something.
Pretzels. It was
like
pretzels.
I went to the store to go get pretzels.
And man, I felt for her because she, like, she's just watching her and listening to her. And she's like, I should have been there. Like, yeah. In her mind, she knows she should have been there.
Uh-huh.
And obviously she lost Ash. And obviously, as she said, a couple of good people.
Yeah. It was so sad.
Do you think that was Azazel?
Oh, yeah.
Douche demon.
There wasn't even, like, any, like, real build up to it. Like when they were talking to Ash, I didn't think that anything was going to happen
like that
to the roadhouse. Yeah, I just thought they were going to make it there and everything was going to be fine, and then all of a sudden it's like cut to it's completely burned to the ground and there's bodies in it. Like I wasn't expecting that to happen.
Yeah. No, that was that escalated quickly.
It did. And then it ended quickly. It was like, "Oh, okay, we found him. Now we move on."
I really thought they were going to draw that out, or that they weren't going to find anything with him and Ellen and...
Yeah. Or I thought they would at least, I don't know, like, bury him or burn him, you know? I mean, he was already burned, but, like, you know, still do their little, like, rituals.
Hunter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nope. You'd think, because I'm pretty sure that almost everybody who died in there is a hunter, since it was, like, a hunter's roadhouse.
Yeah.
So they probably should have had a mass hunter burial.
Yeah.
Maybe Ellen did it. Maybe
they go. Maybe they go back, and we just don't know.
Yeah,
maybe we're on a mission. We have to do this quick.
We'll come back for you later.
Yeah.
By that time, the insurance adjuster is going to be there.
Don't poke around the bodies.
Just leave them. I do also like this episode because we obviously get to see that like Deppin father figure of Bobby.
Yeah.
which we've kind of seen him yell at the boys every now and then and obviously take care of them. But in this, he definitely is like fathers up.
Yeah.
Especially when obviously Sam comes back and they show up to the house and Bobby's just like, oh, good to see you moving.
Yeah.
Sam, good to see you alive.
Oh, how do you feel? Oh, my back hurts a little bit.
I'm sure it does. Sever the spinal cord will do it every time.
Only every other. Not every time.
And I like the fact that as they're doing this, Bobby just goes, hey, Dean, I have more books I need you to help me carry. And you know that he's about to lay a smack down, yeah. Man. He is about to take that kid outside and give him a whooping.
He's like, oh, no, really? You kicking him yourself? No.
Obviously, Dean knows exactly, too. He's like, oh, fuck.
I guess I'll go with him.
I ain't got no choice. Because at that point, you know that Bobby's going to say something to Sam.
Yeah. But that whole exchange between Bobby and Dean was just, that was another, like, gut-wrenching. But when he told him, like, how long he got, he's like, I only got a year. And
and then at the same time, when Bobby's like, how do you think Sam's going to feel when he finds out what you did? Because how did you feel
right
when your father did it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, here's poor Bobby going like, John, Sam, Dean. He's like, John's already dead. Dean, you almost died. Your father sold his soul. Sam, I definitely saw you die, but you're back. So like,
yeah. Now Dean's on the chopping block again. I don't know why I didn't think about this before, but Azazel had this plan going for 23 years.
Yeah.
23. Don't you think that's a little much? And like,
obviously, I think he's been planning this for years. I don't think this is the first time Azazel has done this.
So you think it failed in the past? And
yeah, like this is his like third go around. He's like, look, I've perfected it this time. I need a hunter's son.
Like,
I need like a baby.
Has he been doing that? Yeah, you started to feed him early. Because people are probably like, I don't want your demon blood. I'm not going
to
drink that.
Did you hear Sam? He goes, what are you doing to me?
Yeah. So do you think he's been doing this since like the beginning of time, like since Colt made the gun? Like, is that why this happened?
I'll say, I think it's from, sorry, I just body slammed this tomb style pile drove Tallahassee into this couch. I think it's probably been happening since probably Lucifer got put in the cage.
Yeah.
Because obviously the whole thing of this is that he needs a leader, and not just a leader. He needs what we eventually find out to be the vessel, spoiler alert.
Oh, Cheryl, that's way spoils.
I'm sorry, but that's exactly like looking now, knowing what happens later on, that's exactly what this is leading up to without actually telling you.
You're right.
Because he's like, we need a leader. No, you don't need a leader. You need someone strong enough with demon blood in him.
Yeah.
To be able to house the devil. Because even he, at one point, I caught this. He even says to Jake that you'll be royalty.
Oh, I didn't.
Who's more royalty in the hell realm?
Yeah.
Than Lucifer.
Oh, I did not catch that.
It was when he was basically saying, you know, your mom and your sister and everybody will be safe and you'll be in riches and stuff. You'll be royalty. You'll be part of royalty.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to be part of that royalty. Every time they said Jake, I just thought of Jake from State Farm.
Jake from State Farm? He was not wearing khakis.
Khakis?
He's not wearing his khakis in this.
I mean, his fatigues on there was khaki in it.
That's true. That's true. I mean, at least I'll give Azazel this. He kind of picked from, like, obviously not knowing what was going to happen when he was picking babies. Which, by the way,
the babies. Like,
can we talk about how fast, like, he was the Santa Claus of demon blood that night.
Yeah.
He was going from all these houses, dropping his demon blood. Giving his gifts to the children.
Oh, that's so gross.
That's disgusting. But now you picture him in, like, a
totally
full
different
Santa outfit. Yellow-eyed Santa.
Did he have to take a break, though? Because you know when you give too much blood away, you need to kind of have a cookie and some juice. You think he's getting a little lightheaded toward the end, or?
Maybe.
And if you had to cut yourself open every time, like, why didn't he just, like, have a bag and was like, squirt, squirt?
Yeah,
squirt,
why squirt. Why didn't he just make a vial of his own blood where he was just like, okay, now, bop, pour a little, okay, let's go.
Yeah, you think if he did it before, he would have had this down by now.
Man, Azazel, come on, buddy.
But they finally got him. The Winchesters Winchesters did it like they always wanted to, as a family.
Oh, man, and that was one of the coolest parts of this, was watching him die.
Yeah.
The Colt did not mess around. But yeah, then it was weird, because John was just like, ch-ch, gone.
Yeah, he like did like a look down, and then was just, boop, gone.
And there was also kind of confusion in the release of the demons, in that obviously they were kind of like shadowed out like people.
Uh-huh.
But then at one point, obviously John came out, and if that was John's soul, he was pretty solid for a soul when he grabbed Azazel there.
Oh, he hugged him.
I don't know. That was, he hugged, I had him questions tight about John. I was happy that Dean came clean. Obviously, Sam now knows in the back of his head that Dean's got a year left.
Yeah. And they got work to do.
They do got work to do. They're open for business now.
They have their Ghostbuster hotline number.
Gotta hunt some demons.
Oh, we didn't talk about, so Sam is good. Said he was gonna figure out a way to get Dean out of the deal.
Oh, yeah.
We know that if Dean breaks his deal, then Sam will for sure die.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not, but does Sam know that yet? I don't think Sam knows that yet.
No.
And we know. Oh, and Sam went to go to Bobby's instead of, like, I don't know, lay low or, like, relax or whatever. Do you think Dean was like, I just sold my soul for you so you could come back to life, and now you're going to go get yourself killed?
Yeah. I think also when that happened, he was just like, he's like, can we just not go to Bobby's and say we did?
Yeah. I don't want him to see you, so.
Because his face when Bobby opened that door was like that kid who got caught holding that thing he shouldn't have.
Yeah.
He's just like, yeah, uh-huh.
Hey, look what I got.
I got a living brother.
I got a Sammy.
And that was another one. Man, it just slaps with emotions in this entire episode.
Just slaps you.
Just, just feelings. Why about this? Brotherly love. When Sam goes, well, after Dean says, you know, I'm your older brother. It's my job to look out for you and take care of you. And Sam goes, what do you think my job is?
Ugh.
I was like, man, Dean, you really didn't think this one through, buddy. Like, I get that your emotions were running high, but...
It's just an emotional mess.
Really? Do you think Azazel, when he was picking children to contaminate?
That's a good word. Makes me chuckle, but I like it.
He was like, I need a little from column A, a little from column B, because, I mean, when you roll them up, you had Andy, who was coming off of, like, a real big hit.
Yeah.
You obviously have someone in the military.
Mm-hmm.
You have your, like, regular Joe. You have a hunter, who obviously Azazel knew.
Yeah.
Going in, like, Sam was the child of a hunter, even though at the time they weren't hunting, and John really wasn't into it until after.
Right. Spoiler!
Spoiler alert! I think that's all I got.
So good. So good two-parter.
That was a good, it was a good two-part season finale.
Yeah.
I feel like. Because it kind of wrapped some stuff up, but at the same time,
opened the gates for things to happen. Oh, I see what you did there. Open the gates.
Yes.
I love it.
And it was a nice way to like kind of wrap it up, because you're kind of left on a cliffhanger of like, oh god, there's all these demons running around now. And obviously Dean has a year left. But it's not one of those you're just left going, is he dead? Is he not dead? What's happening? What am I doing? I can't go on like this. I need to find out what's happening now.
Oh, like the end of the first season.
Yeah.
When they get hit by the truck and you're like, well, what?
This is where they take that kind of pivot. Because from here on out, it seems like the season finales are very much like this.
Yeah.
Where it kind of wraps up whatever arc they're working on. Which obviously these first three are like an arc together.
Yeah.
But they kind of wrap whatever the arc is of that season. But obviously keep the story going. Which is usually some kind of job.
We're on the hunt.
Hunting something. Like, oh shit, this is released. Now we have an army of them. We have to go stop them. Hashtag season finale of Supernatural.
Just made me think we're not going to have any more.
I mean, we still got...
Oh, I mean, no, we do. That's why we're doing this.
Yeah. We got some time.
Yeah. Oh, we got plenty of time.
We got all the time. You know what it's time for, though?
Random shit.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's time for random shit.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The you see my dance?
I did.
So, All Hell Breaks Loose is a song by the Misfits. I don't have a clip. This is the first season finale to feature the song Carry On Wayward Son by Kansas. It was previously used over the original montage in season 1, episode 21, Salvation. Although on Netflix, that particular instance of the song's usage had to be replaced due to licensing issues.
Ooh, Netflix.
I know. The song has gone on to be used at the beginning of every season finale since then, and has come to be regarded by fans as the unofficial theme song of the show. It was also our unofficial theme song for a little bit.
Yep, it was. It very much was.
Until we got an actual theme song.
Yeah!
In part two of this supersode was the highest rated episode of season two. And I thought, well, duh, because you had to find out what happened to Sam.
That's true.
So everybody was coming back from part one. Not that they weren't going to come back anyway, but like you had to know what happened.
Yeah, you have your first Winchester death. Like, you need to know what's going on. And there's no way it can end after two seasons.
Right. Like, we need to know.
Especially the episode right before.
Yeah. Yeah.
That wasn't even the season finale technical episode.
No.
That was just part one of it.
We're leading up to it. On the DVD commentary, the writer of this episode, Sarah Gamble, says that The Breakfast Club was the inspiration for the plot. I'm guessing for part one.
Oh, I would say, I guess now that you mention it, yeah, I guess that is kind of Breakfast Club-esque survival in Western world.
Yeah. It's like The Breakfast Club in that five disparate young people are trapped in a circumscribed space and learn about each other's lives and personalities. For Dean's monologue to Sam lying dead on the table, Jensen knew he wanted to play it extremely intimate and emotional. He spoke to the director before they filmed, asking how he intended to film it because Jensen knew that he wouldn't be able to do too many takes. To accommodate him, the director closed the set to give Jensen privacy and placed two cameras in two different angles. They did only two takes, one for close-ups and one for wide shots.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that's awesome.
Jensen said that he didn't even need to think of someone closer to him dying. Just the thought of Jared dying hurt him enough. After cut was called, Jensen stayed on his knees crying and hugging Jared. Oh, I'm getting all tingly now.
Oh my, now. Oh my goodness. Can you imagine them now?
Oh God, I know.
Oh God.
It said after that he had to go walk it off for a bit. Oh, I just got all goosebumpy. I got all like, oh. So then Jared, who's well known for being a prankster and for joking around on set. Like, I think I mentioned this a couple episodes ago where like people will be facing him and like the camera's over his shoulder so you can't see what he's doing and all he does is like make faces at people so they break. So that during this scene where Sam is lying dead on the table, he actually tried very hard to behave himself because it was an emotional scene for Jensen and he wanted to support him as much as possible. He also said that it was challenging to remain quote-unquote dead and not emotionally respond while his on-screen brother and real-life best friend was going through such profound emotions right next to him.
Oh man,
this is only season two, and this is,
only season two, which also then makes me think every time they die, like,
yeah,
do they just think of them dying and it just gets worse every time because they obviously are closer.
I couldn't even imagine. This is the first time Sam dies on the show. Spoiler alert, it'll happen again.
and again. And maybe again.
I don't know.
I mean, definitely not as many times as Dean, but yeah, it's up there.
Because
then we get into my favorite episode.
I always wanted to see what their doors in heaven look like with all their death days on it.
Yep, that's true.
So this episode ends almost exactly as the first episode from the first season with the same camera angle from inside the trunk of the car, except that Sam and Dean's positions are reversed. This time, Dean drops the Colt into the trunk and says, "We got work to do." Then slams the trunk lid before the end credit starts. The first season, first episode ends with Sam dropping a gun in the trunk saying, "We got work to do," then slamming the trunk lid.
Ooh, I didn't catch that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I see your continuity. I appreciate you.
Oh, yeah. That's all I have for you, because I felt that those very emotional tidbits that gave me, like, goose pimples were enough.
Do you feel them in the cockles of your heart?
In the cockles.
In the deep
of
cockles.
Of my heart. And on my arms, because I have goosebumps.
Ooh, goose pimples.
Oh, okay.
All right. I decided there were a couple things that I thought I wanted to do, but obviously I know we round about to Samuel Colt in another episode.
Yeah.
So I did not talk about him.
Is that... I'm sorry. Where Dean's like, I'm a posse magnet.
Yes.
Okay.
That's when he gets real excited and he gets to dress up.
Yeah. I'm a posse magnet.
Yes.
Okay.
So this one I actually was going to talk about the Ashari demon.
Oh, the one I couldn't pronounce.
Yes.
Sweet.
So the Ashari demon was known as a disease-bringing ghost of a little girl. So she's not technically a demon, per se. She's more of a spirit. And she originated in Hindu folklore of northern India, but has kind of found her way also into the Native American folklore of the Chippewa people. The Ashari dwells on mountaintops and descends at night to bring sickness to children.
She brings sickness to children?
She does, because...
Rude.
People say that she's the ghost of a pale, sickly girl who died under tragic circumstances, usually untimely death due to a disease, and wants other people to suffer the same fate she went through.
Oh, I see.
She is sometimes referred to as a hill fairy, and she's depicted with dark or unnatural eyes. Children get sick after the Ashari casts their shadow, which is almost like an infectious disease. And what ends up happening is these children will get infected with deadly respiratory disease and suffer for a long period of time and die.
Oh, no.
Parents were known to tie a scarlet thread around the necks of the children to protect them, because supposedly the color red or anything red generally protected from the Ashari. So usually they do like red scarves or red threads, and they would tie them to their children, mainly around the neck, so that they could stop whatever infectious disease could possess them. There is something known as the, and I found this and I want to read it now, but obviously I haven't read it because I found it on Amazon. It's called The Ashari Demon Haunting, the True Story of Paranormal Case 263. And in it, it's by Corker Johnston, and it's about April 2010 at a home near Rush City, Minnesota. It's a 72-hour investigation following generations of children deaths and an 80-year-old unsolved mass slaughter of the Johnson family murder. And I didn't say it specifically, but I actually did some research on this 80-year-old unsolved slaughter. And why it is tied to the Ashari is the fact that it involves Albin Johnson, his wife Alvira Johnson, and their 7 children. So Albin disappeared.
Oh,
however,
up and vanished.
However, Alvira and their 7 children in April of 1933 in Chisago County were all found dead on their farm.
Oh.
They were burned alive, nearly cremated in an overnight fire.
What?
They were burned so badly that their bodies were almost cremated.
Oh my goodness.
And Albin was never found.
Never found.
So I'm very curious, but obviously the tagline in this is that it's a 72-hour investigation following all these things that ends in terror. So obviously they're trying to figure out if this Ashari demon caused these deaths.
And you said this investigation was in 2010?
Yep. So obviously I'm going to read that book.
Yeah.
So the Ashari actually has a second form.
Oh.
She's got her first form, sickly girl.
Nope. But then sometimes I like to mix it up.
And then once she becomes familiar with you,
ooh,
she shows her rarely shown hideous monster form. Oh.
I like that when she becomes more comfortable with you, she looks worse.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Her hideous monster form is complete with a skeletal frame.
Oh.
Demonic red eyes.
Well, I mean, duh.
And long clawing fingers.
Ew, I just got a creepy visual.
Which, like to be honest, isn't too super bad from what Supernatural had, where they had her as a girl, and then obviously she was about to attack, the nails got longer.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said before, she wants her victims to suffer like she did, so she draws out their deaths, which is why she generally attacks the respiratory system. And with each life she takes, she gets stronger. She also thrives off of misery, so the suffering of the family around her also gives her power. What I did draw comparison to is the Ashari is very much like Japan's Ju-On, which, if you remember, is an Onryo.
I remember that.
The vengeful spirit, which we first saw in season 1, episode 3. But whereas this one is more of a spirit, a vengeful spirit, Supernatural obviously made it very demonic. And then the other one, because when else am I going to get a chance, because I haven't really talked about him, my other little research tidbit is about Azazel.
Hey, Azazel.
Yo, Azazel, what up? So I know I mentioned his name when I was mentioning all of the different demons in the classes of demons, but I didn't want to delve too much into him because I knew we were going to be dealing with him later on. So Azazel, according to the Book of Enoch, is a fallen angel. In Jewish mythology, he's a demon or evil spirit to whom a scapegoat is sacrificed to.
Oh.
And that scapegoat is sent bearing the sins of the people during the scapegoat rite of Yom Kippur. In Apocrypha, Azazel was known to lead a group of rebellious angels and was also known to lead civilizations in matters of warfare and witchcraft. Azazel, who was, quote, once beautiful, is now seen as either a fallen serpent or a carrion bird who tries to corrupt humanity.
Well, that's rude.
Because why not?
Yeah, I didn't have much to do today, so I figured, let me corrupt humanity.
He is known to have, and this is where I'm like, okay, Supernatural, I see you. He's known to have a red appearance, yellow eyes, and known to wear goat skulls.
Hmm.
Apparently, he was cast from heaven because he sympathized with Satan.
Hmm.
And when he fell, that's what ended up corrupting his beauty and giving him the red appearance, yellow eyes. And then I guess he was just like, fuck it, I'm going to wear a goat skull.
I mean, why not at this point? Maybe he landed on a goat when he fell.
So according into the Bible, the Dead Sea Scrolls describe him as a demon, whereas the Apocalypse of Abraham describes him as a carrion bird, a serpent, and as a demon with hands and feet like a man's, and on his back, 6 wings on the right and 6 on the left.
6 wings?
And he's known to have a barbed tail. And sometimes he not only wears goat skulls, he dresses in goat bones.
So why doesn't he just become a goat?
I don't know. I guess he, well, I mean, you think about it. The goats are readily available because they're being sacrificed to him.
Yeah.
He's
like the leather face of goat bones.
He's also known to be one of the creators of the Nephrim.
Okay.
Which is the child of an angel and a human.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he was cast down, part of his rebellion was to lead the Grigori, which was a group of angels who married mortal women and produced a line of monstrous children.
Oh.
And then he began teaching evil to humans and taught women the art of deception.
Oh. The-
According to Judaism, Azazel means strong one against God, which is why they were known to make a sacrifice to him, as well as a sacrifice to God. But they weren't meant to honor Azazel, but more as the scapegoat being the symbol, since they were sending their sins back to the original source. They were like, Azazel, this is your fault. Take them.
Take them back.
We don't want them. Whereas like Christianity, his name is more attuned to scapegoat or wasteland.
Oh.
And according to Seventh-day Adventists, Azazel is known as Satan's right-hand man.
Not no mo.
Not no mo.
He did.
He's known to be arrogant because not only sympathizing with Satan, he sympathized with Satan because when the Lord created humanity, he refused to bow down to the new creation.
Mm-hmm.
And tried to become a plague on men.
We have enough plagues. We don't need him.
It's also believed that in Islam, Azazel was known to have fought against a jinn.
Oh, really?
Who lived on Earth before humans.
Hmm.
But there are some that believe that Azazel is a jinn of himself, who as a reward for fighting against other jinn, was allowed to enter heaven and become an angel. and then was cast from there and became the demon we know and love.
So they say he was originally a djinn.
Mm-hmm, who fought against other djinn.
Went to heaven and then got booted out.
Became an angel, and then because he was an angel, sympathized with Satan, and God was just like, oh no, bro, go back down.
I boot you out.
He is known as the personification of impurity. And that's about all I could find on Azazel.
Just an all around crappy guy.
Yeah, he's not great.
No.
And he definitely has yellow eyes. But I didn't want to like have too much because obviously this is a big long episode.
Yeah.
But I did want to touch on the Ashari, and obviously since RIP Azazel.
is it really RIP?
Wanted to give some background on Azazel.
Rest in pieces, Azazel.
Some heavy stuff.
I know, it's just so sad.
But I think that's it before we take our hiatus, because yeah, we're moving on to season three.
Season three.
All right, and what do we have to look forward to in season three? We get Dean's final year on Earth.
Yes.
We get Bella.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
She's in season three.
Blonde Ruby.
Blonde Ruby. We get Ruby.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. We get Ruby.
We get Ruby.
We'll differentiate in season four.
Yes, when brunette Ruby shows up. I don't know. I think Bella's like one of the heavy hitters in this. Bella and Ruby, because obviously. But that's what we got to look forward to.
It's going to be exciting. Well, thank you guys for listening. We hope you enjoyed season two.
And for our hiatus, make sure you guys, if you want to go back and listen to old episodes, share old episodes, and obviously keep interacting with us on Twitter and Instagram and checking out our website.
I've even started to go back and listen to old episodes.
Yeah, I mean, just if you really want to hear our voices and you really miss us.
Thank you, guys. I hope you join us for season three.
Oh, there's so much exciting stuff to talk about.
Yay.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank
you. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Balls, a Supernatural podcast with Lizzie and Missy. If you want more, follow on Twitter and Instagram at SBNBallsPod or email SBNBallsPod@gmail.com. Be sure to subscribe and follow Balls on your favorite streaming service.